Blog Talk Radio.
And not only the image, but even down to the name. Where it's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way.
Poetic Energy Network.
Station.
Shalom, shalom. What's going on? We back for another Sabbath. You already know we live on the Wave Blog Talk Radio Show with your side, man. We back for another Sabbath. Man, praise Yahuwah for another one. It's going to be a good show, man. We got to just, it's going to be a short show. We just got a little information to cover. This is part one of a two-part series that we're going to go over. Yeah, I'm willing. But hey, let's go to the throne and pray it up. Father Yahuwah, Yahushua HaMashiach name, Father, we thank you for today. Father, we pray that you would speak through us, to us, and speak and let us know what's going on in the spiritual atmosphere, Father, that we may be prepared and aware of the things that are coming upon the world. In Yahushua HaMashiach name, we pray. So be it. Hallelujah. Amen. So today's show is pretty simple. You know, we had a couple things to occur over the past couple weeks. I mean, the past week, but the past week. This week, I don't know if you heard, but we had the Obama thing. He flew to Afghanistan. And this is very, very, I'm still digging on this issue, but this is very, very, very secretive because they were using words. We looked at the article. They were using words like he flew under the cover of darkness and supposedly he signs some kind of deal with the Afghan president. And he was quoted as saying, together we are committed to replacing war with peace. And he sent, you know, quoted again saying, this is going to pave the way to a future peace. And it was just reminding me of, some of the articles that somebody wrote. It said after landing in Bangran Air Base, just after 10 p.m. local time, there was a low-level cover of darkness helicopter, you know, which brought them. And so they, you know, they signed a 10-page agreement around midnight. And all this, it just seems very weird, you know, the cover of darkness, the midnight, and all these things. And so, you know, I was actually looking at an article where, a video actually, where they quoted Obama and how many times, and I don't know if any other president in any other time, and also other officials around the world have been quoted in saying two key words in their sentence. I don't know if a lot of people picked up on this. But a lot of people have been saying, they've been saying peace and safe. These two words have been quoted. They have a video on YouTube. I do not actually know the name of the video, but I watched it today, and they're quoted in saying that so many times in history, like this, around these past couple of years and months, they've been saying peace and safety so much in their sentences. And that's something telling because, you know, we go to 1 Thessalonians. We go to 1 Thessalonians, and it says, we'll go here now. Yeah, so they've been quoted in saying this so many times, and it's very interesting because when you go here, when you flip here, First Thessalonians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 3, it says, "For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should take you as a thief." Now, when we go back to verse 2, it says, "For you yourself know well that the day of Yahuwah comes as a thief in the night." Okay? And so the whole thing, that's why I said, when you look at this article, you lose the key words. The Ruach HaKodesh set apart spirit begins to pick up on keywords that we're using, the whole thing they were using, the cover of darkness, and, you know, all these keywords, you know, he signs it at midnight, and just the key things that you know that you pick up on, you know, that if you have those HD glasses on, you know, the Ruach HaKodesh glasses on, you begin to see, like, hey, you know, we're still digging on this issue, but just the things that Obama is dealing with, and we just have to be aware, because I'm telling you, at any point in history, it is heating up right now. We talked about last week about London. We're about to get into another something more, but they have been quoted more times in history in this couple of years and a couple months of people saying peace and safety. I mean, people actually being quoted. President Obama actually being quoted and saying, you know, peace and security for Israel. You know, Netanyahu, peace and security for, you know, Israel, you know, Iranian. And all, you know, all these different, the Palestinians, and they've been quoted peace and safety. And all these people are quoting peace and safety, but the scripture clearly says that sudden destruction comes upon them. And, you know, but we're not in darkness, because the coming, we know that the day of Yahuwah comes as a thief in the night. And it comes as a thief in the night for the people who are not aware of the coming of Yahusha. You know, people have no sense of awareness about the last 7 years in Daniel prophecy. They have no sense of direction about the coming of Enoch and Eliyahu, the two witnesses declaring their testimony for 3.5 years. They have no, you know, they think that the Messiah is going to come any moment now. You know, that's what I learned growing up in the church, that the Messiah could come back any moment now. You know, he could come back, but they have been deceived to believe that, because when all these events happen and the anti-Messiah arises, that people will, you know, automatically believe this person. So that's what's going on now. You have this. Everybody's saying peace and safety, and it says, look, verse 6, it says, "So then, we should not sleep as others do, but we should watch and be sober. For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night." Okay? So we should watch and be sober, because what? We're Nazarene, we're watchmen. We're watching at our post. So watchmen stand at your post. You know, we talked about last week, I mean, last week and a couple weeks before that, hey, if you're a watchman, you're a Nazarene, that you're standing at your post, you know, we're supposed to blow the shofar if we see coming destruction or something. Hey, we know also that, hey, if you're a watchman, you know, you're watching your security guard, you're watching, you see something suspicious, you know, you're going to check it out. And so when we see things suspicious, you know, it may not be anything, but hey, you got to watch. You got to watch what's going on. We got to watch what's going on in Israel. We got to watch what's going on in the Middle East. We got to watch every event that unfolds according that can be according to the scriptures, because we have to be aware, you know, to tell other people, hey, man, this is what's going on. Hey, you know, because that's our duty, you know, to blow the shofar. And so we have a couple. This is part one of, you know, of two parts, Yah willing. Which this is interesting. Now, We talked about last week, we talked about the whole thing about London, and we want to talk about two different events. We want to talk about the Pentecost, you know, the counting of 50, you know, the Greek word Pentecost. A lot of people are familiar with that word. And, you know, we're getting closer and closer to, you know, the scriptural, you know, Pentecost. And we want to just go over, you know, the real Pentecost and the false Pentecost, because this is coming. You know, you're going to have a false gathering, and you're going to have a true gathering. And Yahushua prophesied to both of them. You know, he prophesied to both of them. We're going to look at them scriptures right there, and then we're going to get into some current events that are happening that, hey, we need to be prepared for. So when we look at the true Pentecost, we look at the true Pentecost, you go to, of course, everybody knows this one, you go to Acts 2. You go to Acts 2. And so we're going to read Acts 2. And then the true Pentecost is him, Yahuwah, pouring out his spirit upon all flesh, just like he prophesied in Joel, you know, that he would pour out this young men will see visions, old men will dream dreams, prophesying going forth, and this is what's happening. But you have a false side of that too, where people saying all these, you know, people, you know, it's a false Pentecost where a false spirit is being poured upon these people, in which, you know, they're prophesying false signs and wonders, lying wonders and all these signs. We're gonna talk about the both sides of. But Acts 2:1, it says, "And when the day of the festival of Shavuot had came, they were all in one mind in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from the heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all those who were sitting. And there appeared to them dividing tongues as of fire settled on each one of them. And they were filled with the set-apart spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Ruach, or the Spirit, gave them to speak. Now in Jerusalem they were dwelling Yahudim, dedicated men from every nation under the heaven. And when the sound came to be, the crowd came together and they were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to each other, Look, are all these who speak Galileans? How do we hear each one in our own language in which we were born?" So a lot of people, you know, a lot of people, Christians, twist this, and they say, you know, that babbling that they be going on in church and all that stuff, that's, you know, that's the Pentecost spirit and all that stuff. But that is not, you know, what the scripture was saying. That was, you know, there was languages being spoken. The Lord HaKadosh gave people ability to speak in languages that can only be understood by the Lord HaKadosh. Other languages, like, you know, how people speak nowadays, people might speak, you know, Spanish or something, another language. But it says, Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and those dwelling in Armenia, Naphtalim, and Yehuda and Cappadonic, Pentos, and Asia, both Parnigam and Panem, Mizraim, and the parts of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, and both Yahudim and converts, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speak in our own tongue the great deeds of Elohim. And they were all amazed, and they were puzzled, saying to one another, What does this mean? And others mocked, saying, Have we been filled with sweet wine? And Kephas, standing up with the 11, lifted his voice and said to them, Men of Yehuda, all those dwelling in Jerusalem, let it be known to you, and listen closely to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you imagine, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet And it shall be in the last days, says Elohim, that I shall pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And also my male servants and female servants, I shall pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show wonders in the heaven and above, and the signs on the earth, smoke beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and splendid day of Yahuwah. And it shall be that everyone who calls upon the name of Yahuwah shall be saved. Okay, so we're going to save the next part for the part two. But we just wanted to get into it, that you had the Shavuot, Pentecost, the festival, and when we get back to it, when we go back to Leviticus, we know that, we talked about it, that kind of in agriculture, you had the barley harvest first, and then you had the wheat harvest, which was in the summer, 50 days after that. And you would have, and they would have the sheaf, and they would come with the sheaf, and they would chop down the barley. So you had the barley harvest first. And a couple weeks ago, we kind of broke it down how that the 144,000 that will be sealed that are blameless, talks about in Revelation, that they're kind of the barley. They're the first fruits taken from the earth. We go to Revelations 14. We go to Revelations 14, and it says, Revelations 14, it says, and I looked, and I saw the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having the Father's name written upon their foreheads. And I heard a voice out of heaven like many waters, and like the voice of a loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpers playing their harps. And they sung a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one was able to learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. So that's, we talked about that, that they had been redeemed, like the sickle was put to the sheaf for the barley and was taken from the earth. That was this is symbolically of the barley, 144,000, because it later goes on. Remember, the barley had to be a bee. The first month of the year is a bee, which means ripen, like it's to the point of maturity, perfect. Look, and it's because verse 4 says, they are those who have not defiled with women, for they are maidens. They are those following the Lamb wherever he leads them. They have been redeemed from among men, being the first fruits of Elohim and the Lamb. In their mouth was found no falsehood, for they are blameless before the throne of Elohim. They were blameless, they were perfect, they were obedient, and they were taken from the earth. So we don't possibly, we don't know the logistics of the end days and the 7 years, when actually, we know that according to the scriptures that we have the first 3.5 years of, the first four seals going off, and then we have the Great Tribulation. And we know that the 144,000 are spared from the Great Tribulation, but it's still a mystery how actually he will redeem those set apart ones from the earth. That's still a mystery. That's still a mystery. And, you have a lot of Christian theology and, people talking about all this. But we don't want to put no thoughts in what the scripture doesn't say. But we know that the last 3.5 years that the 144,000 are redeemed from the earth, according to the scripture. So they are the barley. They are the barley. But you also have the wheat, which we're talking about the Pentecost. We're talking about the gathering. We're talking about the true, just like it was in Acts, that prophecy also that Kepha stood up and said, that prophecy happened then, but yes, it's also a future prophecy because in these days that the sun would go dark and the moon would turn to blood, we know that's some of the seals that are broken in Revelation that it pop off that happened. But we go back to Revelations You go to Revelations chapter 7. When you go to Revelation chapter 7, it talks about the sealing of the 144,000 first, and then it talks about, in verse 9, it says, "Then I looked and I saw a great crowd which no one is able to count, out of all the nations, tribes, tongues, peoples and tongues." Now notice, in the first verses of chapter 7, 1 through 8, it talks about the 12 tribes of Israel, 12 tribes of Yisrael, right? But then it talks, but then this is a separate group of people in which Yehochanan says that he's seen a vision of all tribes. That's just not the 12 tribes. It's all tribes of the whole world. Tribes, tongues, peoples, and tongues. That means every tongue. So just like it was in Pentecost where they had people from all around the world, these people who were not just Yahudim, but these people from all around the world, all around that region, all around the world, were speaking their native language that people can understand them, and they can understand each other. You're talking about this is a future right here, Pentecost, of where all these tribes, all these tongues, all these languages, they have come to know Yahushua, the Messiah, have kept the commandments, and whether they were in the church and they turned from the church and became martyrs and were killed for believing or beheaded because of their testimony. This is the future Pentecost. This is the wheat harvest right here, the second harvest that comes after enduring, you know, in tribulation. Because we know that the wheat and the darnel grow together until Yahuwah is ready to harvest them, until he's ready to bring the sickle. And so this is what we have. We're going to read a little bit about this. And it says, "Were before the throne and the Lamb, dressed in white robes and the palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, Deliverance belongs to our Elohim who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the messengers stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures fell on their face before the throne and worshiped Elohim, saying, Amen. Blessing and esteem and wisdom and thanksgiving and respect and power and might to our Elohim forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders responded, saying to me, who are these dressed in white robes and where they come from? And I said to him, Master, you know. And he said to me, These are those coming out of the great distress, having washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Because of this, they are before the throne of Elohim and serve him day and night in his dwelling place. And he sit on the throne shall spread his tent over them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun strike them or nor any heat. Because the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne shall shepherd them and lead them in the fountains of waters of life. And Elohim shall wipe every tear from their eyes." So right here, the people who they have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. So their robes have been dirty. They have been sinning. They have been just out in the world doing whatever. But when Enoch and Eliyahu got there and bore this testimony, this is the future. And bore this testimony about what they were saying, that they return. And what is Enoch and Eliyahu's message? This is what Enoch and Eliyahu comes. Look, you go to Revelation 14. It says, look, this is what they were saying. This is what they will say. This is what Enoch and Eliyahu will witness. They will say, look, another messenger flying in mid-heaven, having the everlasting sword, the good news to dwell to those who dwell on earth, even to every nation, tribe. Look, there it goes again. Even to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. Go back to Revelation 7. What did it say? It said that I looked and I saw a great crowd with no one able to count, out of all the nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, right? So this is the 3.5 years. This is 3.5 years. This is a 7-year period. This is to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. Saying with a loud voice, fear Elohim and give esteem to him, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and the fountains of waters. And we know that's Yahushua. It's through the esteem of the Father Yahuwah. It says, and another messenger followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she has made the nations drink of the wine of her wrath, of her horn. And a third messenger, this is Enoch and Eliyahu, look, and a third messenger followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives the mark upon his forehead, upon his hand, he shall drink the wine of the wrath of Elohim, which is poured out undiluted in the cup of his wrath, and shall be tormented with fire and sulfur before the set-apart messenger and before the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night, those worshiping the beast or his image, also if anyone receives the mark of his name. So do not let anybody, you know, deceive you, you know, to believe that, hey, you know, Gehenna, you know, whether, I know a lot of people say the Greek word hell, but Gehenna or Sheol, you know, or torturing or life after death, you know, torturing is not real. That's a lie. Because according to this scripture right here, it says that, hey, you take the mark of the beast, you will be tormented forever. Forever is without, I know, you know, you can look it up in the Webster, forever is without end. There is no end for this. So that's what Enoch and Eliyahu comes and says, you know, in Eliyahu, his message before, back in the day was, you know, he came to them and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? You know, if Yahuwah be Elohim, serve him, and Baal be Elohim, serve him. So they had to make a choice, and this was the same choice. It's like, hey, if you're going to serve Yahuwah and better testimony of Yahushua, or you going to take the mark of the beast, JC, and serve him. But you can't, but know the consequences of serving him is tormented forever. So people, you know, and it's a harsh message, but people nowadays, you tell people this, and they believe it's not true. They believe, you know, blah, blah, blah. So you have this future 3.5 years of Pentecost right here. You have this future 3.5 years of Pentecost. And I want to read something important because it is a Pentecost, because Yahushua talked about it. He talked about it in many works. He talked about it in many works. Remember the parable of the fig tree? He talked about the parable of the fig tree. He talked about, you know, and I want to read something. I want to read an excerpt right here from the Apocalypse of Kepha. It says, when you learn the parable of the fig tree, as it's, and this is the future Pentecost right here. It says, as soon as its shoots have come forth and its twigs have grown, the end of the world shall come. And I, Kepha, answered and said to him, interpret the fig tree to me. How can we understand it? Throughout all the days, the fig tree sends forth shoots every year, and it brings forth fruit for its master. What then does the parable of the fig tree mean? We do not know. And so this is what Yahushua gets into when he explains him the parable of the fig tree, and explains to him the area of, in the time of the Great Tribulation, but also the Great Tribulation is almost like it's going to produce the Pentecost, the harvest, because it's like the concept of you pressing a grape. You know, you press a grape or you press a fruit. Juice, the contents in it is going to come out. Just like if you have an olive and you're trying to get some oil out of it, you have to press it first. It has to be pressed, and then the contents will come out. So that's kind of how, there's prophecies that talk about this, but this is kind of how it is. The Great Tribulation will produce this Pentecost in people who have who have maybe the Basura had came to them and they haven't accepted it, or maybe they have not even heard it. But this is the point that he goes into when he starts to talk about it. And so we're gonna go to the flip side of the other Pentecost and what people talk about. And the master answered and said to me, "Do you not understand that the fig tree is the house of Yisrael? It is like a man who has planted a fig tree in his garden and has brought forth no fruit. He sought fruit for many years, and when he did not find fruit on, he said to the keeper of the garden, 'Uproot this tree so it does not make our ground unfruitful.' And the gardener said to his master, 'Let us rid the weeds and dig around it, ground around about it and water it. If it does not bear fruit, we straightway uproot it from the garden and plant it in another place. Have you not understand that the fig tree is the house of Yisrael?'" This is what he gets to say. "Verily, verily, verily I say unto you, when its twigs sprout forth in the last days, then shall false messiahs come and awaken to expectation, saying, 'I am the Messiah who has now come into the world.' And when they perceive the wickedness of their deeds, they shall turn away and deny him who their fathers praised, the first Messiah whom they hung, and therefore sin the great sin." So Yahushua right here prophesied that Yisrael would turn away from the first Messiah whom their fathers praised, himself who was talking, and they would worship another. And that's what the majority of Yisrael have done. They have worshipped JC, you know. They have worshipped and they have turned away from the first Messiah. And worship the false Messiah. But remember that this one that they're worshiping, this deceiver, is not the Messiah. This is what's going to happen in the Great Tribulation and the time of the Pentecost, the wheat harvest, the vision that Yehuchanan has seen of the number that no man can number. But when they reject him, this is JC, "He shall slay them with the sword, and there shall be many martyrs. Then shall the twigs of the fig tree, that is, the house of Yisrael, shoot forth." That's when the tree of Yisrael is really going to start bearing fruit, because the first fruits will be taken off. The first fruits will be taken off the tree. So think about it. If you had an apple tree, and you had a couple fruits that began to appear on the tree, and those fruits are taken off. So now you have no fruit. You have a couple fruits that began to spot up there, here and there, but it wasn't too much. That's the first fruits. That's the 144,000 that are redeemed from the earth. Okay, they're taken away first. They're removed from the Great Tribulation first, or they're protected from the Great Tribulation, just like in Mizraim, they're protected. Okay, now you have the rest of the tree, which is barren, who has not really produced, because he wants Yisrael to produce fruit. The gardener, Yahushua, wants Yisrael to produce fruit for the Father. So right here in the Great Tribulation, those last 3.5 years, the shoots of the fig tree will shoot forth. I mean, it will start growing like the tree will start growing these fruits. And this is what he talks about. He says, "Many shall become martyrs at his hand," talking about the anti-Messiah. So JC will kill many of those people who turn from worshiping him and find out, "Hey, man, we forgot about Yahuwah, man. We forgot about Yahushua, man, and keeping the commandments." But they will become martyrs in the process. And then he says right here, he says, "Enoch and Eliyahu shall be sent to teach them that this is the deceiver who has come into the world, who do the signs and wonders in order to deceive. And therefore those who die at his hand shall be martyrs and shall be reckoned among the good and righteous martyrs who please Elohim with their life." So that's what you talk about. You're talking about you have the two We want to flip on the other side. So we talked about the wheat harvest, what Yehuchanan envisioned, and he's seen of the great tribulation about these people coming out of tribulation. One of the elders bear witness to it. He said, "Who are these?" He said, "These are the ones, you know, coming out of great distress, great tribulation. These are the ones who will be martyred. These are the people from the wheat harvest, the second harvest after the 144,000. Okay, but now look at this. Now remember, Yahushua was just saying that then in the end times you should have you know false messiahs, you know, coming up, and so we know that a lot of times Yahushua bear witness to this. What did he say? Let's go to. Let's stop right here. This is what he said. Matthew 24, verse 25. He says, "Anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Messiah,' or 'There,' do not believe. For false messiahs and false prophets shall arise, and they shall show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the chosen ones. See, I have forewarned you. So if they say, 'Look, he is in the desert,' do not go out. Or 'Look, he is in the rooms,' do not believe." And we're going to show you this is what they're saying right now. We're going to show you that this is not a time far off. This is not, you know, 10 years from now. We're going to read the report in just a minute and relay all these scriptures to real life about what's going on. And so we talked about that there's going to be a false gathering that's happening. A false gathering is going to happen, and please bear with me. We're looking for So this is what's going to be happening. Okay. Now, a lot of pastors twist the scripture right here, but this is what Yahushua said right here. We go to Luke 17. Now we talked about there's a true gathering. It's going to be a true gathering. You have the last 3.5 years. You have the 7-year period. You have the great tribulation, where things are going to happen. People are going to wake up to the truth. They're going to come back to Yahuwah through Yahushua. They're going to stop keeping the commandments. You have the great awakening. You have the shooting forth for the fruit of Yisrael being shot forth. But you also have, on the other side, you have the people. When you think about the harvest, the wheat and the darnel have to reach both their stages of maturity. It's a point where you cannot tell what is the darnel, which means what people say wheat. I mean, which people say tarry. You cannot tell the tarry from the wheat. Okay. You cannot tell it. At one stage, you cannot tell it. But as it begins to mature and grow, you begin to see that the wheat and the darnel is hollow and silent. Nothing is inside. But the wheat has a substance. You know, so the wheat are the righteous set apart ones. And the darnel are the wicked. So you have these two events happening. You have these two events as maturity, as time goes on, the harvest begins to develop, and they become evident. Okay, so you have the separation of these two groups of people. Okay, now on the other side, you have these people who are putting forth this an agenda in order to gather people. You know what they've been talking about: one world peace, and you know, peace and safety. Like we're just talking about peace and safety, one world government, you know, one religion. They got shirts now and bumper stickers says "Code This," and it has all the symbols of every religion under one, and it writes "Coexist." And they want to merge all the faiths together, so there be no clear division. That way, they could, you know, they set this spirit of compromise in which the anti-Messiah will be able to rule over these people, you know, under all these false religions, and so. Yahushua prophesied to this too. This is what he said. Luke 17. Verse Luke 17, verse, we're going to start at 22. And he said to the Thomas, days shall come when you shall long to see one of the days of the Son of Adam, but you shall not see. And you shall, it says, so he was in a sense talking to us and talking to future generations. Look, and they shall say to you, look there, or look there. Do not go after them, nor follow. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part of the heaven and shines in the other part of the heaven, so also the Son of Adam shall be in his day. But first he has to suffer much and be rejected by this generation. And it shall come to be in the days of Noah, so also it will be at the days of the Son of Adam. They were eating, they were drinking, and they were marrying, and they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah went into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed all them all. And likewise it was to be in the days of Lot. They were eating and they were drinking and they were buying and they were selling and they were planting and they were building. But on the day Lot went out of Sodom, it rained down fire and sulfur from heaven and destroyed all. And that's what he's saying. We pause right here. That's what he's saying. That's how it's going to be in these days. You know, people plan into like 2040 and all this stuff, and they just forgetting the fact that, hey, the scriptures have to happen. This is one fact of reality right here that we talked about. I was talking about last night with my wife. It's like Shaul was talking about that Yahuwah swearing by himself. When Yahuwah swore by himself about what he's going to do, there is no one greater than him in which to swear by. So when he swears by himself and he has written down what he said he's going to do, it is impossible for him to eat for even one detail to be off center. Even one detail. So what I'm saying is revelations have to happen. It cannot not happen. That's the thing. And so life cannot keep going on like it is. It cannot. That's the fact. I mean, you want people want to say, oh, well, things gonna get better, the economy and all this. It's not gonna get better. The scriptures have already written it. It's finished. It is done. You cannot do. You gotta do anything. The only thing we can do is tell people about Yahuwah and His Son Yahusha, and the redemption of our souls through Yahusha, in which He paid on the stake, you know, for our sin. That's what we can tell them, man, so they can be redeemed, so they can be saved from this wicked world, to have a life in the age to come, and have a life now. So this is what we're talking about right here. Verse 31, in that day, he who shall be on the, it says, in, no, verse 30, it says, it shall be in the day that the Son of Adam is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods is in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember the wife of Lot, whoever seeks to save his life shall lose it. Whoever loses his life shall preserve it. I say to you that in that night there shall be two in the bed, and one shall be taken, and other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. See, a lot of people, we're going to talk about this. This is very interesting right here, because we're about to get into some real stuff. Two shall be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. This is the key verse, 37. And they answering said to him, where, master? And he said to them, where the body is. Some versions say where the corpse or the carcass is, there also the vultures shall be gathered. So So they're also some of the vultures we gather. Vultures are always gathered around dead carcasses. You know, if the animal dies, you know, I'm sure you watch Animal Planet. The animal dies, you know, the vultures be out there. I see some animals that they ain't even died yet, and the vultures be out there circling around. They circle around dead flesh, dead bodies. So Yahushua told them that, hey, wherever the dead body is, wherever the carcass is, that there will be vultures. That's a parable. The only person who is prophesied as a dead body as to be doomed, the carcass in which he's talking about, Hashatan, the anti-Messiah. He's talking about this dead carcass in which vultures and people will be drawn away to believe. So they will be taken away by what? By deception. They will be taken away by deception. This is what they will be taken away by. So it shall be revealed. See, a lot of people use verse 30 and they say, and it says, and it shall be the same day that the son of Adam is revealed. In that day, he was on the... So a lot of people, you know, say, oh, well, you know, well, if he was revealed, then how are they going to him and he's a dead body? No, it's not saying that. But when you recognize and you understand what the falsehood is, you understand what the truth is. Because there will be a person who will try in the future, try to reveal himself as being the son of Adam, but he is not. And he does lie, like we just read. And Enoch and Eliyahu will come. And so once that is revealed, a lot of people will waken up and say, hey, they will come to the recognition of who the son of Adam is, not being that person who has revealed himself, but being Yahushua the Messiah. So in that day, in those times, you will have a lot of people who will be pulled away by the deception, and they will be pulled away to gather around this dead body who people believe is actually the Messiah. But he is this false Messiah who's coming to the world to do signs and wonders. And that's what you have with the false Pentecost. You have these vultures, these birds who gather around falsehood. Come on, we see it every Sunday. We see it every Sunday that these false prophets, they go in there and they speak. They have mega churches with thousands of people in there listening to one dead body up there, listening to one carcass up there who he does not repent. Couple even said that some of these false prophets, that their judgment has been prophesied from long ago. That their judgment is not, it doesn't sleep. Like these people who are greedy, these people who have robbed the people and do not want to repent. People out here doing wickedness and they don't want to repent. They are dead bodies. And you have people every Sunday who listen and circle around these people in these stadiums and these churches who circle around them. This is the parable Yahushua was talking about. They come listening to this dead body, and where the dead body is, the vultures are. You see the vultures. All the vultures are circled around. That's why they have a stadium, and everybody's circled around. This is what Yahushua was talking about, the false gathering. So in the future, you're going to have a huge false gathering of people being, you know, accepting the mark of the beast. The thing is starting to, you know, Yahushua's starting to make the division already. You know, he said, see, I did not come to make peace, but I came to bring a sword, you know. So the sword is happening already where things are getting divided, where people choosing sides, whether they're going to follow, you know, the dead body, and they're going to, you know, or they're going to follow Yahushua the Lamb, you know. So we want to talk about this. We've been talking about, you know, the Olympics and everything, but, you know, we're sitting at our watch tower, we're watching everything that's going on, but I wanted to bring some interesting facts to your mind. We've been talking about the London Olympics, and it gets even more deeper than we had originally thought. Now, of course, it's just summer, July 27th. But I did some more research. They had a guy named, if you get a chance to look up his name, his name was Rick Clay. And he did some research concerning the Olympics. You know, he was the first one, you know, to talk about the logo. And something happened to him. They either killed him or he got missing. But, you know, since his research, he hasn't, according to what I've seen, you know, he hasn't been found or he's missing. And, you know, a lot of times we talked about that happened to John Todd, you know, who started talking, you know, some things that was going on, and people just getting this. Don't know what happened, but we know what happened. But anyway, some of the research was saying that, I mean, he really went into it and really into depth. So if you get a chance to look at this information, named Rick Clay, look into this information that he went over. But he was talking about how they had some different, you know, authors back in the day, and a lot of the theory of these London artists were that they wanted to build New Jerusalem. They wanted to build New Jerusalem in London. And so we know that Hashatan wants to do everything. He wants to mimic Yahuwah. He wants to mimic Yahuwah. So one of the authors, he was saying that he had wrote, it was one of the old poems, and he wrote, you know, that they wanted to build the New Jerusalem in London. And so when you go back and you look at the logo, which means Zion, and Zion is symbolic for, you know, the New Jerusalem, and you look at the structure of the London Olympics, and you look at the structure of this, and you look at how they build it, and it's coming, you know, they have a commercial where it's coming from the sky, and they're doing all this stuff, and it gives you that sense like they're trying to actually build the New Jerusalem. And so we want to, so we're just standing at our watchtower watching these events unfold, because we have some, I'm telling you, man, you know, I know we keep harping on them, we keep standing like, oh, can we keep talking about this? It could be nothing. And yes, it could be nothing, but if something keeps, you know, your intuition and you keep being pointed to something, we have to watch what's going on. Because I also found some information that, I don't know if we're going to do a show one time about it, and we talked about Yahusha just talked about the dead body. The dead body, and where the vultures will be, the dead body. Where the dead body is, the vultures will be. That's what the disciples asked them. Where are they going to? They're going to the dead body. They're going to these churches. They're going to follow these false prophets. They're going to follow these false messiahs. But we have, even in London, London is a very, very evil place. You know, you had things come out of there like Alistair Bailey and Madame Blinsky, all these people who started, you know, theological society, and these people who run the United Nations, and who these people who they pray to, these ascended masters, which are fallen messengers, and all these people, all this is what, because we have to know our enemy. All these people, these theology people, is the people who run the nation, who run the United Nations, who run the government. And people have been disciples of these people, like Jay-Z, who people listen to. I mean, this is how deep it goes. People who just Jay-Z listens to, you know, Aleister Crowley, you know, who studied the works of people like Aleister Bailey. These are, you know, so it's like a cycle, and you have people connected to Jay-Z, like Kanye West and all these other artists. And Beyonce and who all connected these artists. So all these things are connected. It's like you put dots and all these things are connected. So all this music and all these things are connected to even Aleister Bailey and all these people, you know, who, what they believe, this whole side believe, and they kind of cling to some kind of false spirituality of religion. And almost like Freemasonry, but when we get down to it, is when you're talking about London, and we're talking about all these things, all these circles connecting. We talked about, I don't know if you get a chance to look into it, but it's a person named Maitreya. And Maitreya was a person who actually, coincidentally, somehow resides in London. What we talked about, you have a false side, you have a real side. Now, we were talking about the false side now. There was a person, you remember, no, we're going to talk about the true side. We're going back and forth. You had, when the coming of Yahusha was coming, you had a prophet by the name of Yehohanan, who was proclaiming the coming of Yahushua, the coming of the Lamb. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of Elohim." People kept asking, "Are you him? Are you him?" So you had a prophet that was bearing the witness before he came to introduce him. So on the false side, there is a person. I don't even want to say we because I'm, you know, we're not included in that. But there is a person named Benjamin Cream, who on the flip side, this person is introducing this person called Betrayer. So this person Betrayer subsequently or coincidentally lives in London. And so they're saying that they're saying in May of 1982, in a press conference in Los Angeles, that Benjamin Cream, you know, who this person who studied the works of Aleister Crowley, I'm not Aleister Crowley, but Alice Bailey, you know, said that, you know, the Maitreya guy lives in London. And so the Maitreya guy is supposed to be like the world teacher. He's supposed to unite all the faiths and, you know, and it's supposed to be a day of decoration that's supposed to happen in which, you know, they will, you know, everybody will, you know, hear him speak and he will, you know, talk about all these things. And it's very eerie. You know, we don't want to get too much into it because it's very eerie. But we have some things to watch out for, man, because supposedly, he went to London in the same month, July, in which the London Olympics is supposed to happen, and somehow he resides in London. And it's a lot of things because you just think about the London Olympics being televised. This event is going to be the most televised event in almost human history. And you talk about that, according to this Benjamin Cream dude, that they were saying that the Day of Declaration is supposed to be the most televised event in human history. So personally, I'm not going to watch this thing and, you know, take part in this thing. We're not going to watch these things, but you just have to be at your post and watching these things because a lot of events, we know, we've been talking about it for a while, that, you know, that Rothschild, that the Federal Reserve is over there. We know there's too many things adding up, but we know that, hey, the time is near, and we need to be watching and prepared about what's going on. So you have these things going on. You have these people like Jay-Z, Beyonce, all the people who believe in Alex, about who believes in their works about, you know, the, you know, so that's what Jay-Z and all the people believe in. They believe in the Betrayer dude because they follow the works of Alex. They read these books. They do all this stuff. So they follow these people. They follow the anti-Messiah. You look at Kanye West videos and the imagery with, you know, him coming out of the middle of the two posts on the videos, and Jay-Z and Kanye West album Watch the Throne, and all these different imagery things that is going on in hip hop, and they're controlling the minds of the masses. Number one, a lot of the Hebrew people, and they're not. And the Hebrews are not aware of what's coming upon the world. They're not aware of what's coming upon the world. And these people like Lil Wayne and all these people, that's why I encourage you, hey, man, listen to that music. Break that yoke. Ask Yahuwah to break that yoke from this because Yahushua just said that if possible, they would deceive the very elect. So this music, these things that are being ingrained on TV and things are coming to a conclusion in which people will be controlled by the forces of evil. So I'm telling you, this is something we absolutely have to watch, not actually watch, you know, watch these events, you know, even this summer, but I'm saying in a spiritual sense, watch and look at what's going on because Yahushua told us to watch and be aware what's going on, to blow the trumpet, because this is the information I found out today, that even this false prophet who, you know, this Benjamin Cream dude is saying, you know, who is the world teacher and, you know, supposedly, you know, is you know, ushering in. We talked about it before, ushering in what they call the age of Aquarius and, you know, all this, you know, basically the age of evil and all this stuff. It's happened. Because, you know, I know we don't like to talk about that sign, you know, in the depths of Hashem's time, but you have to know that this other side is going to happen in order for the scriptures to be fulfilled. So that is very interesting that even the person who they're calling the anti-Messiah, or a lot of people call him anti-Messiah, you know, supposedly dwells in London where they're having this event, you know. So we got to continue to be, you know, to be vigilant and to be sober, you know, because our adversary, the devil, is going around like a roaring lion looking to those who devour. So, hey, man, this is just part one, and we're going to have more on this information and about this, and we're going to continue to keep you abreast. Because we talked about last week how they're trying to do the contactless thing to usher in the mark of the beast. I mean, there's so many things circling around this event that is very, very crazy. We're not talking about, you know, the crazy stuff, and then all these things can be verified. So this is what we're talking about. I hope you had a good day. Hey, man, I just encourage you, hey, that the true Pentecost is coming, but there also is the false Pentecost, and where they're beginning to gather people together. They're beginning to, you know, they want to draw all attention to these events that they're doing, you know, to sucker in the people. We talked about they had a hologram thing, which they had with the Tupac thing now, that, you know, that possibly could deceive a lot of people. You had these things going on that if we're not aware of, that it will try to deceive even the very elect, even the people who seek the truth. They will be deceived because they have not been watching, and they have not been alert. They have been asleep. And so let's not be asleep. Let's be in the light about what's going on. So, hey, man, the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. Hey, we out of here. You listen to Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm the Lord's side, and we're still on the way. Hope you had a blessed Shabbat, man. It's been good. Shabbat shalom. Peace to you.